Today comes from 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. David spoke the words of this song to the Lord on the day the Lord rescued him from the grasp of all his enemies and from the grasp of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock where I seek refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, and my Savior. You save me from violence. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies. For the waves of death engulfed me. The torrents of destruction terrified me. The ropes of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. I called to the Lord in my distress. I called to my God. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry for help reached his ears." This is the word of the Lord. Well, if you take a look at the book, the chapter 22 of 2 Samuel, you see that it's 51 verses long. We're not going to read every verse, but we are going to look at the entire passage today. I think one of the desires that we all share in common is just the desire to know that you are safe and that you're going to be safe. Think about how much of life revolves around that. Think about how many things that we do and invest in and spend time on. We do so in order to ensure our safety, from trying to be wise with our money, to investing in retirement, to taking care of our body and our health, to trying to raise our children in the instruction of the Lord. All of these things are things that we do because we desire to be safe. And we live in a world where we know that we're often not safe. We live in a world where things come into our life that are very distressing and very dangerous. And sometimes you may have had the experience of just wondering if all of life is just about to blow up. Is it all going to come crashing down? The desire to be safe is something that rests very deeply in each and every one of us. I think that being safe is one of the main themes of this particular chapter, and we see David talking about his experience in the verses I just read and how that he found his safety in God. When we go back and look over these verses, you know, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my God, my rock where I seek refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. He talks about how he called upon God, how he was at the very end of his rope. The waves of death were engulfing me. The ropes of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. I called to the Lord in my distress. I called to my God. And it says, he heard me. Last week I told you that these last several chapters of 2 Samuel are like an epilogue. So chapters 21 to 24 are like an epilogue on the end of the book of 2 Samuel. We've already sort of seen David's whole life, and the author who put this book together for us gives us these chapters towards the end that sort of go back now and look at some events in the life of David. When we look at this particular chapter, if you were to ever read Psalm 18, you would see that basically Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel 22 are one in the same psalm, except for some very minor edits in the passage in Psalm 18 that were probably done by David himself to sort of make it fit into the Psalter better. These two chapters are the identical psalm that David wrote. But the author of 2 Samuel brings this in to the book of 2 Samuel. At this point, we find ourselves asking, why? Why is he bringing this in? Well, we need to, in addition to that, just remember the fact that as we look at this, we're not looking at narrative, we're looking at poetry. And we have to always be sensitive to that. But it's not just poetry. It's also speaking about God's anointed king. So it's always dangerous to jump into a psalm and immediately apply it to ourselves, because the psalms were written first about God's King David. And so they are describing David and David's experience first, and we can't really find our way to how they apply to us unless we go through the life of David first and see it in that light. If you look at the very beginning there, it says David spoke these words. It gives a little introduction to it that gives us a little bit of a timeline on when David wrote this. It talks about how he wrote this about, the theme of it is his deliverance from Saul, when he was running from Saul for his life back in 1 Samuel. But it also is clear that as you listen to him talk, he's very aware of the promises that God made to him in 2 Samuel 7. So we would have to locate this psalm, this being written, sometime after 2 Samuel 7, when he received God's promises, and of course, much after he had been rescued from Saul. So let's just look at this psalm together, sort of step by step, and I think that what we're going to see when we come out at the end is what a valuable and precious thing it is to know God, and how that our confidence in God can be founded on the fact that he is so good and wise and strong, and that we need to relate what we know about God into trusting God. David trusts God in times of apparent danger because he knew that God is the one who keeps him safe. And every one of us can know that God is the one who keeps us safe in life as well. All right? In verses 1 to 7, what we just read, we see God's king being threatened. We see him being threatened with destruction. We see the waves of death coming over him and his life under great threat, and so he calls to God. In verses 5 to 20, we then see God responding to this. Verse 7. I called to the Lord in my distress. I called to my God. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry for help reached his ears. And then in the following verses, we see how God responds when his king is being threatened with destruction. And we see from verse 8 to 20, we see God's anger toward the enemies of his king, and we see God's powerful deliverance of his king. The earth shook and quaked. The foundations of the heavens trembled. They shook because he burned with anger. Verse number 9. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Coals were set ablaze. Again, this is poetic language, but it's expressing the anger of God toward his king being threatened and his king facing destruction. Then if we look down a little bit further into verse number 16, the depths of the sea became visible. The foundations of the world were exposed at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. You can just sort of picture a bull or an animal with those nostrils, you know. God is angry that his king is being threatened. Well, what does he do about it? Verse number 10. It says, he bent the heavens and came down, total darkness beneath his feet. So when God's king is threatened with destruction, God comes down. God shows up on that occasion. And he rescues him. He delivers him. Look in verses 17 to 20. He reached down from on high and took hold of me and pulled me out of deep water. He rescued me from my powerful enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out to a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. There's an interesting phrase here in verse number 17 where it says, he pulled me out of deep water. The only other occasion in the Old Testament where that phrase is used is in the story of Moses in the Nile River when he's plucked out of the Nile River. So David is talking about how he was threatened and how God became angry towards the enemies that were seeking his destruction. And in seeking his destruction, of course, seeking the destruction of the kingdom of God, and that God came down and powerfully delivered him. And then when David starts talking in verses 21 to 31, it gets a little bit confusing. You'll probably find with me that there's some things about this that at first read just don't sound right. Verse 21. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. He repaid me according to the cleanness of my hands. Really? For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not turned from my God to wickedness. Indeed, I let all his ordinances guide me. I have not disregarded his statutes. I was blameless before him and kept myself from iniquity. So the Lord repaid me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. Does that sound unusual to you? How can David say this? Well, some commentators try to solve this and say, well, he wrote this before 2 Samuel 11 and the whole Bathsheba thing. So that's why he has this confidence. To which I say, okay, whoa, wait a minute. Is there not anything else that we see in the life of David objectionable before 2 Samuel 11? You know, what about all those wives he had that he wasn't supposed to have? That really does not, in my mind, solve the problem. Is David claiming here that he was not a sinner? Does it kind of sound it that way a little bit? Was he saying that he was so good that God owed him rescue from his enemies? Could that be what he's saying? Well, let's stop and think about this for a minute. Just a couple things to consider. Number one, the author of 2 Samuel was not stupid. So the author of 2 Samuel that is putting this here in this book knows that you've already read everything up to this point, right? I think he's putting this question on us. What does this mean? Not only that, not only was the author of 2 Samuel not stupid, David was not stupid. David was not so foolish as to think, oh, my life has been perfect. I've never done anything wrong. I'm righteous, and because of my goodness and my purity, God owes me this, 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 and this. No. It all has to be understood within the context of verses found like in 2 Samuel 12 and in Psalm 51. Where in 2 Samuel 12 and verse number 13, we read this. David responded to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Then Nathan replied to David, "And the Lord has taken away your sin. You will not die." In Psalm 51, David says, "Cleanse me, God, and I will be white as snow." When David makes this claim that he is God's righteous king, his forgiveness was not due to his commitment to God. His forgiveness was due to God's commitment to him. And the reason that he was able to say these things is because God had cleansed him and forgiven him. And that's something that all of us may find easy to forget in our lives as well. From God's righteous king, we learn that he saves those who need saving. In verses 28 to 31, "You rescue an oppressed people, but your eyes are set against the proud. You humble them. Lord, you are my light, lamp. The Lord illuminates my darkness." So you see, it's God doing this for him, not him doing it for himself. So there's gospel here. And then in verses 32 to 46, we see God's strong and victorious king. We see what God does for David in verses 32 to 37. "For who is God beside the Lord? Who is a rock? Only our God. God is my strong refuge. He makes my way perfect." Read those previous verses in light of that statement. "He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He's the one who sets me securely on the heights. He trains my hands for war. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your help exalts me." So we see what God does for King David in verses 32 to 37, and then we see the extent of his reign as he brings it toward a conclusion in verses 44 to 46. "You have freed me from the feuds among my people. You have preserved me as head of nations. A people I had not known serve me. Foreigners submit to me cringing. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners lose heart and come trembling from their fortifications." As we listen to these final words of David in the book of 2 Samuel, we see a lot of things here that were never fulfilled in David. We realize that all of this culminates not in David, but it all culminates in King Jesus, who became the fulfillment of all of those promises that were made to David. They are all fulfilled in Jesus. And we see how valuable he is, and we see how that being safe, knowing that we're safe, how it is directly related to knowing God. Knowing God must always lead to trusting God. And it is when we feel unsafe, it is when we feel insecure, that we must be trusting in God so that we can say the things that David said, such as, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my shield." It all culminates in King Jesus, all of these promises made to David. So, how can you face life and know that you will be safe no matter what comes your way? How can you face life and know that you will be safe no matter what comes your way? Some of us have things that may be threatening us now. Some of us may simply be worried about things that might threaten us later. How can you face life and know that you're safe? By knowing God and trusting King Jesus. Here's how that looks. Remembering what a valuable, precious thing it is to know God. Remembering what a valuable, precious thing it is to know God. We can feel that in the words of David, especially in the first verses and the last verses of this chapter. Do we take this for granted? Do we value this above other things that call on our hearts? To what extent do we really value knowing God as being a precious thing? And the reason that it is such a precious thing is because it is in knowing God that we are able to trust God. There's a lot of people that know about God. There's a lot of people that have been to Bible studies or seminary or whatever, and their heads are filled with information and facts. But then when the hard times come, they crumble. Why? Because the information in their heads has not translated into trust and love. So the way it looks in our lives is remembering what a valuable, precious thing it is to know God. Secondly, resting in confidence that God is infinitely good and wise and strong. Which goes along with that trust factor, right? We are able to trust in King Jesus because we know, we are confident that he is infinitely good and wise and strong. How does it look for us? Remembering the value of it, resting in the confidence that he's wise and good and strong, and relating what you know about God into trusting God. Relating what you know about God into trusting God. In other words, seeing the whole Bible as gospel, even here, seeing the gospel in the life of David, seeing the whole Bible as gospel, not seeing the Bible as a self-help book, not seeing the Bible as moralism that's going to teach us how to be more good. It's all gospel. Seeing the whole Bible as gospel, seeing that the ultimate purpose of knowing God and knowing about God is to trust him. that's the whole purpose of knowing God and knowing about Him, is to trust Him. If knowing God is somehow in your life a desire to experience some kind of emotion or feeling or have some kind of an experience, then you're kind of missing the ultimate purpose of knowing God. The reason God reveals Himself to us, the reason He wants us to know Him, is so we can trust Him no matter what. And seeing all the good reasons that exist in the Bible for believing all of God's good promises. Let's bow. Gracious God, we do confess this morning that too frequently we put our trust in our own efforts, our own intelligence, our own hard work, our own ingenuity. We put our trust in other people. We put our trust in a job. We put our trust in many other things rather than resting in You. Remind us, we pray, that You alone are good and wise and strong. Forgive us our unbelief. Increase our belief. We pray this in Christ's name. And all God's people said,